This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Making a prison again? What do you think, huh? Well, I don't think it's really going to happen, but it would make a really, really cool movie about reopening Alcatraz. And call it The Rock Part 2 or Escape from Alcatraz Part 3. And we can make it in America since we don't make movies here anymore. Why is that anyway? I can explain. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Want to give my thanks to the Sussex County, New Jersey Republican Committee. I was up there on Saturday. I moderated a candidate forum for three of the four candidates who are running for governor in the New Jersey primary. Shout out to my buddy Wake Up NJ, Mike. He was there live streaming it. He's a great follow on X, by the way. So I sat down for a half hour with Jack Cittarelli and then with Bill Spadia and then with Senator John Bramnick. We had nice conversations and it was a fun day. So you can go watch it. You can go to Wake Up NJ's stream. He's got all the videos there for you if you want to take a look. If you're a Jersey primary voter, the focus I had was, let's imagine you've already won the primary. What's your game plan to win the general election? That's how I did it. And it was very positive and not negative because we have enough negativity in these commercials and mailers and everything else that we deal with. It's always a question of how do you bring everybody back together again after the primary's over, which is going to be in a month. So there you go. One of the guys running on the Democrat side for mayor is a guy named Ross Baraka. He's the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. He is slamming the reopening of an ICE detention facility in his city of Newark. Newark is a sanctuary city. All three candidates, by the way, and Mario Kranjak, who is also running for governor in the Republican primary, had a scheduling conflict, so he was not able to attend. But all three candidates that I did speak with all agreed that they have to we have to end New Jersey's sanctuary city status. They all pledged to cooperate with Tom Homan, and they all pledged to do whatever they could to help ensure that we deport illegal, alien, gang member, criminals, and everybody else. So it's interesting that this guy, this Democrat, is running for governor of New Jersey. New Jersey and Virginia, the only two states this year that have gubernatorial elections. And this guy, Ross Baraka, is going down the route of, I'm going to stand with illegal immigrants. The other candidates in the race who are running for Democrat are trying to just not say anything on this. But it is fascinating how you've got this sanctuary city mayor in Newark, New Jersey, pushing back on ICE and saying, we don't want this facility here and we want to protect these criminals. It's really remarkable. But it's where the majority of the Democrat Party is right now. And they're still standing with illegal immigrant gang members. You haven't heard much about the MS-13 gang member who was deported to El Salvador. His name's kind of gone away. Have you noticed that? Ever since the audio of the wife saying how she feared for her life, and she was afraid for her kids, and she wanted a restraining order against him, ever since then, that story's kind of gone away. You notice that? I paid attention to that. I noticed that. Alina Haba, who is the United States Attorney for New Jersey, appointed by President Donald Trump, says they're not going to let sanctuary cities operate in New Jersey, and they're going to do whatever they have to do to get these illegal immigrant criminals off the streets and out of the country. Good. That's the way it should be. I say good to that. Now, the other question today is, are there going to be tariffs on movies that are made outside of the United States? The president addressed this at the White House a short time ago. And as usual, you know, he gets on his Truth Social and he's kind of bored. It's Sunday. He's a little bit bored. And he says, you know, we're going to put 100% tariffs on movies that are not made in the United States of America. When he spoke at the White House today, he really clarified his remarks and he said, you know, I want to help this industry. I don't want to hurt this industry. And they've explained to me why they have to shoot a lot of their movies out of the United States of America. But we have to figure out how we can keep the movie industry here, because we used to make all the movies here in the United States of America. And that's true. We used to. It used to be a very primarily American industry. Movies and television shows, entertainment. Most of the shows today that are filmed in America, they're not filmed in Los Angeles anymore. They're not filmed in Hollywood. They're filmed in Atlanta, Georgia. Netflix just opened up, with the help of the state of New Jersey, a massive facility in the old Fort Monmouth military base. They've opened up a 180,000 square foot facility to shoot their television and movies for Netflix, which Netflix says the theaters are over and we're going to do everything direct to home and we're going to save the film industry by just sending it right to the home. So they got a $400 million grant from the state of New Jersey to do it, or an economic development grant or whatever they did. The question, of course, is how do you ensure that when they use that money, they hire people from New Jersey and use New Jersey people and they put that money back into the economy? So that's the question. We'll talk about that as the show goes on today, too. But a big reason why the movie industry left California is because of Gavin Newsom. When he was governor of California during COVID, he was so strict, he shut everything down. And you had, for example, Tom Cruise, who was doing Mission Impossible at the time, was able to convince the United Kingdom to let him finish production over there. And then the UK started handing out all these big tax credits. So a lot of movies, they start filming in the United Kingdom. Plus, California's got all these restrictions on everything from labor to water to everything else that they just turned around and Hollywood said enough is enough. But the real dirty secret is these actors don't want to pay the millionaire taxes. They all may scream about how they want to give more and they want to elect Democrats who are going to raise taxes. But the truth is, these guys don't want to pay the taxes themselves. They're giant hypocrites. So they wind up leaving California to go to other places. And they have agents there and they have offices there and they fly back and they have meetings there and they have production meetings, but they don't actually film there anymore. It's just too expensive. I heard this in a podcast that Dana Carvey did with David Spade, and they were talking about this. They said, you know, it's cheaper to go overseas and film one scene. You could film an entire movie overseas for what it costs to film one scene in Hollywood, California. So Trump was addressing that today from the Oval Office, and he was saying, you know, I want to help this industry. I don't want to hurt this industry. There's legitimate reasons for them to be able to shoot it overseas, so we have to figure this out. What you want to do is you want to find a way that you can have incentives, but then you don't want to have crony capitalism and give money to an industry that makes a lot of money. Some of these states like Georgia and now New Jersey with Netflix, who've decided to partner with these industries, they believe the money is going to come back into their states. They believe that it's going to be an investment that they're making. As a taxpayer, I'm always skeptical of these things, because I see a lot of times what happens is you get the job boom early. The boom is early there to build the facilities, but then they fly in the people they need, and they're not necessarily people that work in the state, or then those people that work there don't necessarily turn around and invest in the state. So you got to wonder what kind of an economic benefit it really is. Now, obviously, with an 180,000 square foot facility at an old military base that wasn't paying taxes, at least it's going to be paying taxes, property taxes. So that's good for the county of Monmouth County, New Jersey. They're happy about that, obviously. But it's funny, as I was thinking about how destructive Gavin Newsom is, I mean, at one point, if you would have said, What is Hollywood, California known for? You would have said movies. A few years ago, there was this article in the Los Angeles Times about this, and they said, you can imagine a time in the future where people talk about how they used to make movies here in Hollywood. And I think I mentioned this to you after we came back from California. We took the kids to Universal Studios. Universal Studios is a theme park now, and Universal is now owned by Comcast. So Comcast owns NBC and they own Universal Studios. And so it's this gigantic, you know, mega movie / TV. And they own NBC News. And speaking of NBC News, they own Meet the Press. And the president sat down with Kristen Welker this weekend for a very long, over 100 questions very long interview with NBC's Meet the Press, Kristen Welker. And by the way, put to bed the notion that he's going to run for a third term. You got to remember, he loves to troll. You can like that. You can hate that. It's just what he does. He loves it. He gets his kicks off trolling. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He trolls. That's what he does for a good time. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? He's not changing at this point. So he loves to troll, and that he's been trolling about a couple things. He answered the question about the picture of him as the Pope. He said he didn't do it. Somebody else did it. They used AI to make it, and he thought it was funny, and he put it out there, and he said Melania thought it was funny, and he said he can't become Pope because he's married. Because they can't let, you know, you can't be married if you're the Pope. But anyway, I know some people were offended by that. I wasn't offended, but then again, I'm an Italian Catholic from Jersey. It takes a lot to offend me. You know what I mean? A lot. You got to work hard to offend me. And certainly, it's going to take more than just a Pope meme for that. But if you were offended, I get it. I'm not going to take it up with him, I guess. But anyway, so the point is that NBC, Universal, Comcast, and Universal Studios, which have a big theme park in California, and a massive one in Florida, which they're competing with Disney. And you take the Universal Studio tour, and you're seeing all these movies that were made that my kids have no idea any of the movies that were made there. You know what I mean? Because they don't film there anymore. They just don't film in Hollywood. A big part of it is the regulations and the money and the labor and the unions. The unions are incredibly powerful out there. So they just said, all right, we're out. There's ways to fix it, but I don't think you're ever going to go back to a time when Hollywood, California will be the movie capital of the world. I think if you were to flash forward, there's an opportunity there. Nashville, they're filming a lot in Nashville now. And Austin, Texas is another place where they're filming a lot too. But Atlanta, Georgia, they decided, let's give out these big tax breaks to the film industry to get them down here. And they believe that the money is going back into their economy. They're pretty happy about that. But no, I don't ever see Hollywood being anything other than a museum to movies that were made. Like they were telling us on the studio tour, they're like, Frankenstein was filmed there and Dracula was filmed there. Not Dracula, the one that was not Bram Stoker's Dracula, but Dracula with Bela Lugosi. I mean, I'm a movie nerd, so I love that stuff. I thought it was so cool. But my kids were looking around. And they show you Psycho, and then they show you where they filmed. I think the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds movie where they have an airplane crash, but that's what I mean. They show you where they filmed Jaws 4, The Revenge with Mario Van Peebles. Mario Van Peebles. Jaws 4 is so bad. It's so terrible. It's really bad. It's a bad movie. But anyway, they showed you where they filmed. They have this big, the big pond they use there, and they filmed it there. But they didn't film Jaws there, but they have a replica of Amity there, Amity Island with the shark, but they actually filmed it in Martha's Vineyard. My point is, I get what the president is saying. And Matt, I think we have that audio clip, right, of the president talking about Hollywood from earlier today?
Yeah, cut 30.
All right. Oh, and by the way, welcome to Henry. Henry's joining us today.
Yo.
Great to have you back on the show, Henry Meschette.
Oh, welcome lovely back. To be here, Rich. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
one
it.
One day only.
Yeah, one day only. Every once in a while, you get a nice little afternoon with Henry. So,
had I known you were going to be here in studio, I would have come in studio today.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh, no one told
no.
you?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't have come in. Oh. No, I didn't. I wasn't.
On a Monday, nonetheless?
No, I was supposed to be in New York today, actually, for Fox News, but they moved it to tomorrow.
Ugh.
So, yeah. So I got to go in tomorrow morning, and then, of course, we're going to be live at the Great American Pub tomorrow.
Oh, man.
And then we have Politics and Pints. Are you coming tomorrow?
I think I might make an appearance.
Good. Do you still have the mullet?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I might get a haircut before day's end, though. Who knows?
Today? You're going to be on with me till
7? Well,
maybe
not today. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
In between. Between when I get off Planet Dom.
Yeah.
And go to Politics and Pints. Might be a little haircut in there. Who knows?
All right. And then you got DeSantis is back in Phoenix, so mm-hmm. Scottsdale. So thank God he's gone. Goodbye.
Could have used the hand today, Matt, but that's okay.
A little rude.
little rude, right? And it sounds like you're broadcasting from a bathroom in Phoenix. What are you using now?
Right now I'm using AirPods because I had a little bit of technical difficulties.
Oh,
I'm switching over to the headset during the next break, though. Don't worry.
AirPods. Like, this is a college radio show, Henry.
Yeah, seriously. I thought
but
you were
a ham
professional.
Radio show.
Harvard educated.
Using AirPods.
I had a technical issue that I couldn't fix right before we went on air. I did sort it out, though, and we'll be fine after this segment concludes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank God.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's what they all say. All right, well, here's the president talking about Hollywood and movies and tariffs. Take a listen.
Explain a little bit about how you would implement tariffs on the film industry, kind of how that would work.
Well, that's a different story, but our film industry has been decimated by other countries taking them out, and also by incompetence, like in Los Angeles. The governor is a grossly incompetent man. He's just allowed it to be taken away from, you know, Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't do very much of that business. They have the nice sign and everything's good, but they don't do very much. A lot of it's been taken to other countries, and a big proportion. And I'm actually going to meet with some because, you know, there's some advantages, I guess, and I'm not looking to hurt the industry. I want to help the industry. But they're given financing by other countries. They've given a lot of things. And the industry was decimated. If you look at how little is done in this country now, you know, you think we were the ones. We used to do 100, not long ago, 100%. Now we do almost like very little. It's shocking. Are you in that business too? Because he's in so many businesses, you could explain it, but it's not a good situation. So we're going to meet with the industry. I want to make sure they're happy with it because we're all about jobs. That's all what I'm, you know, it's very important. It's a big industry, but it's an industry now that's, it's really left, it's abandoned the USA where it started. And we'll get it back.
Now, it's not a national security issue. So I want to make that point very clear. If the president's using national security to justify tariffs on the film industry because of propaganda, that's not going to fly. Sorry, it's not. This is not bringing fentanyl in. Yes, there's propaganda in movies. There's propaganda made in movies in America. And we don't want the federal government getting involved in dealing with propaganda by using tariffs. So this is not something, in my opinion, that the president should get involved with in any way, shape, or form. If Congress wants to do something under their tariff power under Article 1 of the Constitution, by all means. But you can't justify a national security threat by movies made in Bollywood, which is India, where they make movies. They call it Bollywood. Even if it's made with Chinese propaganda, it's still not a national security threat. And then you get into some very murky First Amendment questions and issues, and you don't want to go down that road. You don't want to. There's a lot of conservative movies that are also made these days. You know, we interviewed some of the filmmakers when we were at CPAC and we were at the RNC, and you really just don't want the federal government getting involved in deciding what is propaganda and what isn't. As far as finding ways to remedy the situation, there are certainly things that the government can do. The question is, do we want them doing it? But if there is an unlevel playing field because you have countries overseas that are offering better financial arrangements than the United States of America is here, well, then that's something you got to figure out and you got to address because that's just silly. You know, in other words, if the United Kingdom is offering such lucrative benefits to film over there and you're dealing with policies that are so restrictive and economics that make it impossible to film here, well, address that, fix that, correct that, whatever that is, so that imbalance goes away and then movies can return to the United States of America again. I don't want the Brits getting all that money. That's ridiculous. It's crazy. If you got to shoot a movie overseas, there's nothing you can do about that. You need a location shoot. You got to do it over there. I mean, I heard somebody say, well, you can almost replicate any scene in America because it's, you know, it's a movie. You can. Yeah, true. But there are filmmakers out there who won't do that. They need it to be the real thing. They have to have it has to be authentic. You know, they got to film exactly where it is. That's their artistic. And hey, listen, that's their right to do so. As far as I'm concerned, they want to be like that. Yeah, you could recreate certain things in a studio. You can make anything in this day and age with computers. Some filmmakers don't want. They need to be exactly there. Well, I mean, take Jaws, for example. Steven Spielberg wanted to film in Martha's Vineyard because he wanted to be. He did not want to film that movie in a studio. He just felt like it was not the kind of thing. It's funny, though, that this is coming up on the day that the president's talking about reopening Alcatraz, which is the scene of the movie The Rock with Nicolas Cage and with Sean Connery. And Ed Helms was in that, too. Not Ed Helms, Ed Harris. And then also, of course, Escape from Alcatraz, Clint Eastwood playing Frank Morris, who's the only guy they believe did escape from Alcatraz. Now, depending on where you go on the internet, you're going to find all kinds of theories. whether or not he actually escaped or whether or not he made it. They do triathlons now at Alcatraz. People swim that all the time. So the whole idea that it was unswimmable, that you get eaten by sharks and you die, and it's not true. I mean, they have annual they're swimming off Alcatraz all the time for things. But what's interesting about that is that they said he was dead. I don't think he died. I think he escaped. And then he left and moved somewhere else and probably lived his life as somebody else until he died. He's dead now. Can't imagine he's still alive. But if he is, he should come forward. Be amazing at this point. You know, it'd be, I would say if you're Frank Morris and you're still alive and you did escape from Alcatraz and you're not dead yet, you should come out and let everybody know. Everybody would be cool with it. You know, I mean, I think you could even get a pardon out of it. I really do. Because you're the guy who did it. So it's your claim to fame. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile, Dr. Mike Vanaria. We've got a big show for you coming up today. Joe Concha is going to stop by. He's got a brand new book out today on the Trump election, and he spoke with the president, and the president just endorsed his book on Truth Social, Fox News contributor. He's going to be here a little bit later today. We'll talk to our buddy from Newsbusters and the Media Research Center. We've got some great audio clips for that segment of the show today because this was a crazy interview CNN did. So Bill DeAgostino, who's going to join us, we'll talk about it. CNN interviewing a gang member about how rough it is to be a gang member. Insane, I know. And then let's talk about the fact that the ICE has returned. Yes, the ICE. I don't mean Andrew Dice Clay or the Iceman Cometh or even Arnold Schwarzenegger's horrible puns in Batman and Robin. No, ice, as in the stuff that we thought was melting because of climate change. All that is straight ahead. Remember, tomorrow's Politics and Pints. Get your tickets today because it is tomorrow. And we'll be live at the Great American Pub on Bridge Street in Phoenixville. We'll have Miller Lite specials tomorrow, 3 to 6 on the air for the show. So join us for that. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
We got a request from Kerry Nelson. Since you're back on the show today, Henry, to play Manic Monday at some point.
Oh, yeah. Totally got to get back into that.
Yeah. Henry used to have his thing where, you know, like every Tuesday you play Tuesday's Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, that was my
Manic
favorite.
Manic Monday for Mondays, right?
Mm-hmm. The middle for Wednesday.
Yeah, you had a whole thing. So, DeSantis, did you fix your headset situation or what?
I should sound much better now.
Oh, you do? You sound like you're on a radio show.
A real professional.
The AirPods weren't doing it for you?
No, they weren't doing it for anybody. But you do sound better. A little staticky, but we can work with it.
All right, good.
We can work with it. It's amazing. It's amazing. It really is. What do you think of Portnoy, Henry?
Yeah, he's doing his thing, right? He is the media. He is his own public relations.
He really is. We're trying to get him on the show. I mean, I know everybody's trying to get him on the show.
Oh, totally.
But yeah, I mean, he's the get. That's the big get, right? If you can get Portnoy on. First of all, if I get him on, I'm going to talk to him about my pizza, my homemade pizza. You know what I mean? But obviously. This incident in Philadelphia, this is a local story with lots of implications in our area, because there's this, what happened is these guys put this sign up about Jews, and Portnoy flipped out about this, rightly so, by the way. He flipped out, and he's got a lot to say about this. So he's got a bar in Philly. If you didn't know about that, then you'll learn about that part of it, because that's a thing that not many people really understood. But let's go through a couple different clips on this. So for whatever reason, Matt, the show sheet I have does not have numbers on it for the audio clips. Is there an updated one?
There is an updated one.
Okay, maybe I don't have the updated one open. Maybe that's the problem. Hang on. Oh, and in case you're wondering, will I be on Fox News Tuesday and Wednesday? Yes. Yes, I will. Wednesday with Sandra Smith on America Reports at 1 o'clock. All right, in case you're wondering. Were you wondering? If you've been wondering, now you have your answer. Tomorrow and Wednesday, 2 days in a row. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Where's I see now. There's the show sheet. Okay, here we go. So now I have audio clips. All right. So which one should we start with that would set the stage for the story, you think? What's a good one?
You could go for the Fox News report if you just want a general rundown. That's cut 13.
All right, let's do that. This is the general rundown of what happened at the Philly bar owned by Dave Portnoy. This is the Fox News report, so you can understand the whole story in case you don't know what we're talking about. Cut 13.
Barstool creator Dave Portnoy taking to his social media furious this afternoon, shortly after this video shared widely on social media showed an anti-Semitic slur on a sign ordered at Barstool Sampson Street in Center City Saturday night. Philadelphia police confirm they are looking into the video.
He was pained by it, and he is pained by it, and he's angered by it, and he would like to find ways to help avoid that from happening in the future, not just in his establishments, but anywhere.
Rabbi David Kushner, a chaplain with the Philadelphia Police Department, says he spoke with Portnoy about the incident, which he calls incredibly concerning, especially just days into Jewish American History Month.
Every single person deserves basic human decency. And what we saw in that video does not meet that standard. Does not even come close to it.
What's going on? And they wouldn't let us go through the front door right here. We had to call the emergency exit right there. It was kind of weird. They made us finish our drinks.
At the bar today, Daniel Stewart, unaware of the incident, says around 4 p.m. they were suddenly told they were closing and had to leave. Others showed up and couldn't get in.
It's really surprising. Like, it feels like such a bad lapse in judgment. Go tell your boss, or at least run it by someone. They just went to go do it. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, that's how you lose your job.
In a statement, Temple University said they identified one student believed to have been involved and that they were placed on interim suspension, saying in part, quote, "Anti-Semitism is abhorrent. It has no place at Temple." The university also added that students found to be involved could face expulsion. In a second video, Portnoy confirmed they fired the two waitresses involved with creating the sign, and for the two involved with ordering it, he says he decided he wanted it to be a teaching moment.
We're going to send these kids to Auschwitz, and they're going to do a
a tour of the concentration camps in Germany and hopefully learn something. And maybe, like, their lives aren't ruined and they think twice, and more importantly, other people, like, see, it's not just like words you're throwing around.
It's both horrifying and dangerous. It's not just a joke.
Jason Holtzman with the Jewish Federation of Greater Philadelphia is pushing for more education, but commends Portnoy on his response.
There's always a way to come back. There's always a way to return. So I think going to Auschwitz and seeing, you know, one of the lowest points, if not the lowest point in Jewish history, is a good first step.
Now, Portnoy himself had a lot to say about this, and he also had an interview with 6ABC in which he was furious with them and ended the interview. So we'll get to that as well. But here's Portnoy vowing revenge after seeing this F the Jews sign at his bar. And this is what he had to say about that. Cut 14.
All right, emergency press conference time. So I'm getting ready to go to the Bet Gala. And all of a sudden, my phone, the last hour or two, my phone's blowing up. Our bar in Philadelphia, Barstool Sampson Street, usually a great bar. You know, bottle service, people buy drinks. You get a sign. There was a sign yesterday that said, Jews. I've been shaking. I've been so mad for the last 2 hours. Like, I instantly got on. This is why the emergency press conference is late, because I was so over the top. It's like, I'm going to make it my life mission to ruin these people. Like, I'm coming to your throat. I'm never ending. And I just sat, and for the last 2 hours, I have been on the trail. Trust me, I've been on the trail. You think I'm going to put up with at my bar? So I've been hunting down waitresses, the table who did it, and everything you can name, because I want consequences for actions. So I'm not just sitting back like, oh, what are you gonna? No, trust me, I have been on it. I believe the two waitresses responsible for the table already fired. I talked to one of them, one of the dumbest humans I've ever talked to in my life. She's at a dance recital. She's like, can I call you back in 20? No, honey, you can't. This is your one chance to talk to me. Idiot, total idiot, this girl. I've talked to the guy, Mike.Wade, who's tagged. Guess what? He wasn't even there. I had this kid basically in tears, turning state witness to me, rolling on the people who were there. I've talked to one of the two guys who did it. He's like, I'm not anti-Semitic. He's basically crying to me. And I'm just like, I don't buy it for a second. Who the would do that sign in my bar? You think I'm just going to sit here? I'm going to make it my mission to put you in lights. My mission. Kid's crying. I just hung up on his ass. I go, I'm giving you one hour. Two kids go to Temple. Tell me, how do I make this right before I go eight? You want to take anti-Semitism classes? You want to do whatever? You make it feel right. I don't need your tears. The Mike Wade kid wasn't even there. Wasn't in the bar. We got the footage. He's not in the bar. Trust me, they're pulling the footage. They're doing this. I'm 20 steps ahead. I'm using everything. I'm like, I am going to come for your throat unless you give me answers. The two girls at the bar, idiots. This one girl, one of the waitresses, I just told her, like, you're the dumbest I've ever talked to you. 25 years old, going on two, you dumb. What I'm saying is, I'm getting the names. I'm trying to be a little responsible. I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm on it. I'm on it.
Okay. So he's obviously very, very fired up, as you would be too if this happened to your bar and somebody said F the Jews. So he goes on to 6ABC. 6ABC decided to sit down with him, and he was very upset by the way they handled this interview with him. Okay, basically blaming Barstool and blaming him for these actions by these idiot employees, all right? So I'm going to play this clip of him against social media. Again, it's a little bit of a longer cut, but it's okay. And he's talking about this and how 6ABC begged him to do the interview. And then in the middle of the interview, they start basically saying, like, this is kind of the culture that he's created. So this is cut number 17 here. And Dave Portnoy explaining with 6ABC, our local ABC station here in Philadelphia, as you know. Or if you don't know, because you're not listening from the Philadelphia area, it's our local ABC station, 6-8. I don't watch any of them. I don't watch. Sometimes I watch Fox 29, but for the most part, I really don't watch. I can't stand them. I really can't. I really honestly can't. Fox 29 is good. There's some good ones there. Like, that's a good station. But the other three, I can't. I have no use for them anymore. But anyway, so this is cut 17.
All press being like, will you talk about it? Yeah, I'll talk about it. So ABC News, Philadelphia, they reach out. They beg me to do an interview. They give me the reporter's name. It's some reporter, and then they do a bait and switch, and a new reporter shows up to do it this morning. She starts like, okay, fine enough, asking questions about the bar, how did it happen, responsibility, blah, blah, blah. And then she shifts, and then she does what a media scumbag does. She's like, well, she pulls a quote out of her ass from, like, I don't even know, a made-up journal, some professor at, like, the Sportocratic University of something. It's like they say that Barstool Sports creates a culture of harassment and that basically I'm responsible for this happening at my own bar. I never heard the quote. Oh, you're saying some liberal college professor said they don't like Barstool? So I was like, well, who said it? And what is this even journal? We go back and forth. Austin, who's here, started taping it. This piece of... Let me put it in right now. Here's who I would say is causing that type of environment. All these colleges who let Jewish kids get harassed on campus 24/7. I've been speaking out about this since it started. So these professors, I'd love to know. First of all, that sounds like a made up thing. I don't know what that quote is. The Society of Sport. Where are the professors from? Where are the professors from?
Send you the article.
Well, why don't you answer where are the professors from?
And let's look back and then go back and see if you want to waste time.
Well, no, you're quoting two people. I have no idea who they are from a made-up journal. So okay. Tell me where the professors are from.
From the University of Virginia.
Okay, so.
Made-up university.
No, that's a real university. I'd like to know where they're getting their information. I don't like quotes that I have no idea where they're coming from. I totally disagree for what you just said. Who's creating more hate right now in the world? Do you say Barstool Sports and white men or college campuses? No, that was a question to you.
I'm the journalist. I'm asking.
Well, I don't play by those rules. What does that mean? You're a journalist? I'm a journalist. I run a big media organization. I just asked you a question.
Let's answer the question.
No, I asked you a question. You answer the question. You answer the question.
You're not running this interview.
All right, then the interview's over. She's like, you can't ask me questions. I'm a journalist. You ambush me with a made-up quote from a made-up journal from two professors, I guess, at Virginia. Let me ask you this. Where do you think more hate is happening? At Barstool Sports or college campuses across this country? This piece of ABC, the person who set it up, gave me one reporter, bait and switch to the ABC. ABC. People are, ooh, it makes me mad. I forgot how much I hate journalists, this
Matt, how long did it take you to edit that out of curiosity?
Oh, man. The first clip that we played, I think, had 28 words that needed to be bleeped that we couldn't use on air. And for that last clip that we played, I was already just emotionally beaten down after the first one, so I didn't even bother to count. But when all is said and done, I think the three Portnoy clips that we have probably took me about 15 minutes alone.
Isn't there like an AI that you can use that would just do that and just beep it? You're the least technological person I know, but there's got to be some AI thing that you could run through and just beep it automatically.
If it exists, someone please tell me.
Beeps.
Yeah, I want to know about that too.
There has to be. I can't imagine there couldn't be at this point. You tell me the AI revolution hasn't figured out a way to censor dirty words that the FCC won't allow on the radio. It has to be done. I mean, there are stations out there using AI hosts. There was a artificial intelligence disc jockey who was on the radio for 6 months until they figured out it was AI. It was in another country, but
it's a pretty good run.
Not bad. Not bad.
Did he have any listeners?
Yeah, surprisingly, you sexist bastard, she had listeners. And I'm sure as soon as that story came out, you know that that Odyssey was like, how do we, you know what I mean? How do we do this? How do we get our hands on this? It was Australia. Australian radio station secretly used an AI host for 6 months. Workdays with Thy Broadcast for 6 months before listeners began questioning the host's true identity. From reproductive rights to climate change. No, I'm sorry. That's the byline of the Independent, which I guess is their liberal banter. Okay. Australia Radio Network CADA station, which broadcasts in Sydney and on the iHeartRadio app, created a host named Thy, THY, using artificial intelligence software developed by voice cloning firm 11 Labs. Workdays with Thy show presented music for 4 hours a day from Monday to Friday, but did not mention on its website promotional materials that this was not a real person. If your day is looking a bit blah, let Thy and Kata be the energy and vibe to get your mood lifted, the show's page states. True identity only emerged after Sydney-based writer Stephanie Coomber questioned whether the host was a real person. In a blog post earlier this month, she wrote, "What is Thy's last name? Who is she? Where did she come from? There's no biography or further information about the woman who is supposedly presenting this show. Audio analysis of voice clips revealed that the host sounded identical when saying the words old school across different shows." So they acknowledge they were using AI, and there you go. So, yeah, there were fans, there were people that would connect with the artificial intelligence host, and there's the future, kids, right there. Now, they won't do that for this because there's no computer that as smart. The smartest computer could never keep up with my mind, no matter what. There's no super intelligent computer that can keep up with my mind to be able to analyze the issues and break down the issues this way. Only I can do that. But there you go. But I'm sure there's got to be a program you can use to put it through, and it would just bleep for you, DeSantis, to save you some time. Spend more time with your fake girlfriend, for example, you know?
ChatGPT seems capable of anything, so maybe I'll give that a shot tomorrow. Find a particularly heinous clip, and I'll give it to ChatGPT and see if it can work its magic.
Are we not streaming, by the way?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, because I think I just see I know my camera froze, so I restarted it, but I think I just see the thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm not seeing your camera coming up.
I'm in there. Maybe not.
I'll have to fix it during the break, then.
All right, no problem. You know why? Because my video was off. How about now? Is that better?
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Yeah, turn your video on, genius. Like I said, no
AI could do that.
Can keep up with me. Right? What kind of
Nothing
a supercomputer can
you.
Keep up with that brain, Henry?
It's a steel trap up there.
Anyway, to Portnoy's point about the anti-Semitism on college campuses, 6ABC didn't want to have it. They hate him because he's a conservative-leaning guy. I mean, he's really his own kind of independent guy, but, you know, we know where Portnoy stands politically, and they don't like him, and he represents masculinity and all the other things that the left hates, so no surprise they would go after him for it. But I think he handled it correctly. There's another clip of him. We'll play it later, but he said basically he wants to send the people that did this to Auschwitz so they can tour the concentration camps and see for themselves. So that's what he said. All right, more to come on this. The president announcing today that the NFL draft is coming to Washington, D.C. in 2027. So there's a big deal. They're expecting like millions of people to come out for that. It's going to be held on the National Mall by the Reflecting Pool. So that's coming out. And a big question too, which is Jen Psaki completely insane or just the world's biggest liar? Because she says she never saw Joe Biden having any cognitive decline issues whatsoever. True story. I'll tell you about that as well. So all that straight ahead. Big show. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Education is now resuming federal student debt collection. Imagine that. That's after Biden defied the Supreme Court in what we can call judicial tyranny, after the Supreme Court of the United States told him, you cannot continue your student debt repayment scam. But, of course, Biden did it anyway because he was an imperial presidency and he just never got called out for it. But now the United States Department of Education is going to resume collections of student debt. So there you go. Jen Psaki, I get it. When you're the White House press secretary, you have a job to do. Your job is to spin for your boss, for the president. You make the president look good. That's your job. You get paid to do it. You go out there and you battle with the press. I get it. But when you leave and you take a role as a quote unquote journalist, you're supposed to be objective. So I don't know if Jen Psaki has dementia like Joe Biden does. I don't know if Jen Psaki is just worried that if she says the truth now that we'll look back on her and say that she was lying then and she'll lose credibility. Or I don't know if Jen Psaki is really just thinks that we're dumb enough to believe this, but I don't believe her. I don't believe she's telling the truth. Not for a second. And the reason why is because say what you want. She was a very good White House press secretary. She was a great liar and she's a smart person. So there's no way that she saw Joe Biden and never saw Joe Biden's cognitive decline. There's no way. And this is what she said. This is cut number 20. She was on the Mixed Signals podcast with Max Tanney and Ben Smith. Cut number 20. Cut 20. Are we there?
Sorry, I have some technical difficulties on my end.
All right, no problem. Do you have it or not? Just say something. Say anything.
I never saw that person, not a single time. And I was in the Oval Office every day that was on that debate stage. I'm not a doctor. Aging happens quite quickly.
She never saw that. Now, I don't believe that for a second. She goes on to say something like, you know, they say this is a cover-up. I mean, Watergate was a cover-up. This wasn't a cover-up. Excuse me. This is not even close to... Watergate is somebody stealing money out of a piggy bank compared to this. This is the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, the guy who has access to the nuclear codes, who did not have it all together, who had lost his friggin' mind. No, it's way worse than Watergate. Nixon, for whatever flaws he had, was fully in command of his faculties during it. The problem with Biden is that he wasn't, and we don't know who was really running the country. So no, this is a cover-up of the utmost degree and the biggest political cover-up of my lifetime, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. We'll do Oceanfront on the other side too, I promise, don't worry. We're coming right back, big 4 o'clock hour, don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.